So even though we had the constitutional class, let me just finish up on that. Week one was last week. Just join us right in the middle, but join us if you can. I'm telling you, it is awesome. I was surprised. What's that, hon? 6 p.m., thank you. 6 p.m., so join us for that. And before we let the youth out, I'm going to have Jennifer Pittman, as you make your way up, and I'm going to give her, I'm going to give her this mic. I asked her, Jennifer, has it been about a year? Has it been a year since you've been coming? 9 months. But we had talked with Jennifer, me and Gina, over and over and over again, and she'd come up after service and start telling what God has been doing in her lives. And I know a lot of you, God has done awesome things. But what this is just an encouragement of what God can do. Please listen to her testimony. I just felt like she was to give her testimony. They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Her testimony, I feel like, can encourage some people here. It can encourage mothers and fathers. It can encourage grandparents or whatever. So I just want you to just listen to what God has been doing to one of our members, one of our family members. So I'm going to hand this over to Jennifer. Thank you, Jennifer.
Hi, my name's Jennifer. I know some of you. And I've been coming here for about 9 months. I've never done anything like this before, so I'm a little bit nervous, so please bear with me. But I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit sort of speak through me, because that is what has been happening to me for the last 9 months. 9 months ago, a bomb went off in my life when my husband of 25 years walked away from me. Until the day he left, I thought we were in love. We had just gone on our 25th anniversary trip, and then it was just over and he was gone. And I had been a stay-at-home wife and mother for 25 years. I had no skills. I had no friends. He was my idol. He was my life. And it was either give up and end it or give everything to God. And in that moment that I decided I can't take one more step, I'm going to lift my foot, and God, you have to put it where you want it. I gave it all. I didn't realize that I had been so full of pride, and I thought that I was living this really wonderful life, and I was a Christian, but what happened was I kept God in his Bible on my shelf. And when I opened that Bible and I started reading it and started letting it dictate my life, he started using me in ways that I had no idea could even happen. I had no idea that direct answer to prayer was a thing. I had no idea that when I said, God, I don't know what I'm going to do, and 2 weeks after David left, a friend of mine's son said, I have a job for you. I didn't look for it. I didn't apply for it. But here I was in a job that I could do really well. I was delivering pharmaceuticals to hospice patients and really feeling useful. I was letting God work through me, and he said, all right, Jen, you have spent 25 years using weed to kind of numb your pain whenever you were upset, and it's time to stop that. And I put it down, and in a time that I needed comfort, I let go of the thing that I thought was comforting me, and I never looked back. It was cold turkey. It was just next day done. He also at the time told me it was time to stop smoking, and I said, we'll see. And so I tried that first day, and I didn't make it through that day without smoking. But 1 month later, he told me again it was time. And again, I'm not in a position to be letting go of comforts, but I let it go. And cold turkey, I stopped smoking after 31 years of smoking. Thank you. I can count on one hand the number of serious cravings that I had, and it's been 3 months. And that, all by itself, is the biggest miracle I've ever seen in my life. I feel like I'm sitting in a miracle. My husband was a mechanic, and he took care of all of my car stuff. So when my job, I used my own car for the job, and when it started breaking down, I thought, I can't do this. I've got to find another job, and I hit my knees, and I said, God, I have got to have something else. You know what I need, and it's got to have insurance. That was my prayer. The next day, my son came home and said, Mom, I've got a job for you, and now I'm driving for Amazon, and I start insurance in 2 weeks. God has done for me through Leanne and my godly friend Krista and Shannon, and just all these beautiful faces, one after the next, has encouraged me and been there for me. And I had no idea that he can walk right next to you, and he can hold your hand, and he can get you through anything. I cried until I felt like my ribs were breaking. I've never felt pain like this. But like I said, I picked my foot up, and he put it down. And every step has been more beautiful than the last. I've lost 105 pounds. This has been, I can't honestly even say that I'm not happy this happened. I cry every day still. Horrible things keep happening. But I'm also the best person I have ever been, with the least reason for pride, because it is all Jesus, 100%. And I just want to thank this church and Pastor Chad and Gina and all of you wonderful people for your incredible strength and the Holy Spirit that is so clearly in this place, that has touched me in ways that I just didn't know it could. And I'm grateful for every single one of you, and I will always be grateful to God. And the rest of my life, I want to spend bringing him glory. And I just thank you all.
Amen. Let's pray for Jennifer. Father, thank you for your hand upon this woman of God. Thank you for her testimony that will touch many, many people. Thank you, Father God, that no matter what the enemy will throw against her, Lord, that she is more than a conqueror. And Father, we thank you for her husband, David. Lord, we ask you to touch his life. Saints, this is one of our sisters, it's family. We ask you to touch David. Lord, we ask for your hand to be upon him, to speak to him, Father God, in the night hours, in the day hours. And Father, we thank you for the continued platforms that you're going to give this woman to declare what God has done in her life. And we thank you that we get to be a part of it as her family. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Isn't that awesome what God does in people's lives? And you know, and it's a different for everybody. You know, it's different for everybody. Mine was we're going to let the youth go right now. Thank you. God bless the youth. Bless them. Woo! Sorry about that. Thank you, Richie. I wanted them to hear that testimony. I wanted them to hear that testimony. But you know, everybody's testimony is different, you know, right? But it's still God doing the work. It is still God doing the work. Amen and amen. And so as I was preparing for today, thank you again for being here. And as I was asking the Lord, hey, what do I speak on today? Lord, what can touch people's lives? What can get people to trust you, Father God? What can get people to challenge people? Is that okay in today's age to be challenged? And so as I was preparing for this, I would call this message today, Contending for the Faith. Contending for the Faith, amen? And please, I ask that you would hear me all the way through, because I know when you've got points and you're going through all the scriptures, and I have to bring forth a lot of scripture, because this body loves the Word of God. It's the Word of God that changes a life, amen? It is the Word of God that changes an individual. So I have to bring forth a lot of scriptures. You guys will say, where's the groceries? Where's the meat? And so today, man, you know, the thing when you're preaching to a group, Wednesday, man, it's just meat. I love Wednesday nights. It's line upon line, man, and it is meat. But, in a Sunday morning, we're all at different places. You got to give some milk of the Word of God. Amen. Isn't the milk of the Word of God good? Well, we got to give some meat too, amen. So you be praying that I can present things, something that everybody, regardless of where they're at, can grow in Jesus Christ. That people will give their lives to Jesus Christ. That people will come out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen? So contending for the faith. And I got this because I was reading from Jude chapter 1. And I'm going to start here with 3 and 4. By the way, Jude was the brother of James, and James was the half-brother of Jesus. So that makes Jude what? A half-brother of Jesus. So he doesn't start out saying, hey, let me tell you who I am. He's talking to a group of people that he really knows. And so he starts out saying, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ in Jude. Obviously, there's just one chapter, starting in verse 1 here, actually. A bondservant of Jesus Christ, a brother of James, to those who were called sanctified. Amen. How many sanctified do we have in the house of the Lord today? Sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. And this is interesting what Jude says is, beloved, while I was very diligent, I was doing my very best to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary. Or another translation, he says, I couldn't help myself. I wanted to preach our common faith, but the Holy Spirit constrained me. I had to give another message. He said, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. He said, my heart and my mind was just to preach on a certain subject and talk about all the things that God has done in our lives, and he has done great things. I wanted to just talk about, just encourage you in the grace of God. He says, but the Holy Spirit would not allow me to do that. He says, I have got to talk to you about contending for the faith. Saints, we're in a day and age where the church has to contend for the faith. We're being bombarded from every side with things, whether it be the government or just people in general, that is contending or coming against you and I to tear down yours and I's faith. That's a fact. That's what's happened. That is what we are dealing with today. Do you agree with that, saints? It's just that's what we're dealing with. And then it goes on. He says this. He says, for certain men have crept in unnoticed. They've crept in. Let me stop right there. They've crept. They can creep into churches, but that's not just churches. They creep into the schools. They creep into the government. They creep in everywhere in society is what it's talking about. So that's why he started saying, I am contending for the faith. He says, we're contending for the faith. So he says, the Holy Spirit is speaking through me. And the same Holy Spirit that was speaking through Jude at that time, I'm telling you, speaking through me today. Because we're what? We're opening up, we're talking about, we're speaking what was written in the Word of God. He says, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how did they do that? Well, it says they crept in unnoticed, so they didn't come in and say, hey, Jesus Christ isn't real. No, Jesus Christ isn't the Son of God. No, this is what it's saying. They crept in and said, I know you've grabbed a hold of this grace, but you can do anything you want, and God will be okay with it. I'm telling you, that is not the grace of God, saints. No, the grace of God changes a life. But he was saying the people have come in. So we hear even in the schools or whatever, when they come in and say, hey, you can just teach whatever you want. God doesn't care. Oh, he cares. In the beginning, he made them male and female. Amen? As an example. So the grace of God changes a life. Amen. Thank God that he made them male and female. He says, I wanted to preach this, but I had to come in and say, hey, look. In society, in a church, people are creeping in and they're saying you can live out ever you want and it doesn't matter. That is not God's grace. I've never presented it like that. But at the same time, until you understand his love and his grace in your life, you can't come out of that. But it doesn't mean that you just feel comfortable in things that are opposed to God. That is not the grace of God. Amen? You still with me? So it's not enough for them that society accept men having, I'm saying, sex with men, or that the institute of marriage no longer matters. Now you see a push that pedophilia is okay. I'm telling you, right now, we're seeing a push that pedophilia is okay. They're calling it something else so we can put a nice name on it. So pedophilia is okay. And now man's wisdom says you can choose whether you are a boy or a girl, or maybe you don't identify as either. So when I say these things, I bring these out because that's what they're trying to teach in schools. I was talking about what I was reading about in Illinois, where they're trying to put it in kindergarten starting in kindergarten, telling, no, you're not a boy or girl because you were born a certain way. You get to decide. Man, that is what we call the epitome of the of an ungodly culture that would think that's okay. That truly is insanity, saints. And of course, God wants to reach out and pull people out of those things, but we still have to stand up for what's right and wrong. Grace doesn't say, oh, does it matter? No, God made them male and female. It's what it is, as we point out, yes, there's a sin and there's abomination, but let me show you how to come out of it. Let me show you who can set you free to live a life of joy and strength and deliverance in the grace of God. Amen? Amen. I tell you, that's good preaching this morning. So how can we contend with our faith as believers? We're in a day and age, saints, whether you realize it or not, you're having to contend with your faith. We're having to contend with your faith. First, some points. One thing that we have to fight against is ignorance. Now, ignorance doesn't mean that you're stupid, right? It means you haven't learned it or not willing to learn things, right? You could be really smart but be ignorant in a certain area. We've got higher institutes right now in our country of learning that are teaching ignorant things. But we'll stop and go on from there. So Romans 10:17, you know this. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You know that, right? Let me ask you, what are you hearing? I say this, I've said this before, but as we contend for the faith, what are we hearing? I'd take this example in Acts, even as Paul was preaching the truth, his own people didn't hear it, didn't believe it. Acts 28, 23 through 27 says, Acts 28, 23 through 27, this is towards the very end of the book of Acts. It says, when they had set a day for Paul, people came to him because at his lodging where he lived in large numbers. And he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus. From both the law of Moses and from the prophets, from morning until evening. Can you imagine he's talking to these people from morning until evening? Now, man, that's what you call having a heart for persuasion. He says, man, when you leave here, every stone is going to be unturned. These people were here to hear what he had to say. From morning to evening? Can you imagine that? You guys wouldn't be here that long, would you? Verse 24 says, some were being persuaded by the things said by Paul, but others would not believe. And it's interesting, let's keep reading. And when they disagreed with one another, they began leaving after Paul said one parting statement. The Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your father, saying, go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing and will not understand, and you will keep on seeing and will not perceive. For the hearts of this people have become insensitive, and with their ears they hardly hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return, and I would heal them. You know, when you have ears to hear and eyes to hear and eyes to see, the Word of God heals you. It heals your heart. It'll heal your mind. Amen. It'll heal your body. We've got to say, Lord, what am I hearing? You know, I've come to, as I've matured in the Lord, when there's certain areas that I still struggle in, I've started to say, Lord, what am I believing about this area of my life? What am I hearing? People need to today saying, you know, if this is my belief, when we're hearing the Word of God, it brings healing to our marriages. When we're hearing the Word of God, it brings healing to our family. I've come to realize that. The power of the Word of God. But saints, you have to hear it. And today, once again, we live in a society where the Word of God is just one option, even in the church. But the Word of God, when it's given its proper place and authority, heals a life, amen, through the grace and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this morning I say, are you one that hears? Are you hearing the Word of God, amen? Yes. Are you hearing what God has to say for you? Amen. And in Romans 10:1-4, as we continue, this is Paul, this is an awesome scripture. He says, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them, he's talking about his fellow Jews, is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God. Wow. But not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to anyone who believes. So I'm saying this, much doing doesn't equate faith, saints. Much doing does not mean knowledge. They were very zealous. They did not understand the grace of God. They could tell you everything about the book of the law and the prophets, but it did not equate to salvation for them. It's great to know the word of God, but if it is not with the grace of God, with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's a bunch of head knowledge that will not change you. Oh, how he loves you and I, saints. He called us when the word of God, when it comes forth, is to deliver us out of those things and bring us into great joy. Oh, how he loves you. He can heal any heart, any situation he can turn around. He's done it. That's why we had Jennifer talk this morning. It's just, I was so impressed of what she's allowed God to do in her life against great odds. Against great odds, amen. And even against great odds of this country of what's going on. Oh, I'm looking forward to many more people like Jennifer. Many more people like me who came out of darkness and came into his marvelous light. That say, Jesus changes a heart. Amen. I hope America and Europe are not a type of modern-day ancient Israel, meaning church attendance continues to decrease, the Bible and the Word of God no longer being held in high honor. Man, I pray, God, we could turn that around. That once again, that the things that where we can be together, the body of Christ, and actually bring strength and healing and joy in our lives, that we would see that again. I pray that we wouldn't be so dull of hearing that, yes, we've got all the right words about grace. We've got all the right words about what God can do, but really we're dull of hearing because it doesn't take precedent in our life. Amen. Father, that I pray that we're not a modern day like what Israel was back in that day. They'd heard the word of God for so long that they'd become dull to it, or they'd actually become indifferent to it, or they actually began to shun it, or even worse, it began to offend them. I pray today that the word of God doesn't offend you, saints, that you continue to allow it to touch you and change you and deliver you and do a mighty work in your life if you will believe in it. Amen? But people say, but what about James where it says faith without works is dead? I'm so glad you mentioned that. Can we talk about that for a minute? We'll see how far we get today. So James chapter 2, 21 through 24. When God showed this to me, it just helped it all come together because people say, no, faith without works is dead. And they think we're talking about salvation. Absolutely not. Not even close. James chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. And it says, was our father Abraham not justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected. That's going to be a key word there. Faith was perfected. Or you could say faith was matured. It became mature. Verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You know, so as I started studying this out, and you go to when he, you know the story where he has Isaac and he, you know, that him and his wife, Sarah, were way past the age of childbirth, right? Like 99 and 100 years old. So we knew when she got pregnant, it was God, right? And then when they had the boy and he was growing up and God says, hey, sacrifice him. And what did he do? Got some wood, took that boy with him. And he's saying, and his son is asking Isaac, saying, well, who's going to provide the sacrifice? Where's the sacrifice, Dad? And what did Abraham said? God will provide. See, his faith had gone to this point. It was like 25 years later after God had said, you know what, because you believe in me, it's credit to you as righteousness. You see, if you can look at the stars and count them, then you can count your seed, what's going to come after you. And so which point was it that his works were working with his faith? Was it when he had Ishmael? No, I'm saying something. He had times of failure. I mean, he believed in God so much that his wife said, hey, this ain't working out. My handmaiden, why don't you have a child with her? And what he said, well, let's give it a try. And he did that, and that issue, that became a thorn and a sorrow in his home. He ended up having to send the mother and Ishmael away. Wasn't raised with a father. I mean, that's what that produced. So are you talking about that faith right there? No, he had blown it. Or how about when God says, leave your family and go to a land that I'm going to show you, and he takes Lot with him. And Lot was a thorn in his side. And Lot, they became so wealthy, they had to separate. And then he was living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he ran from Sodom and Gomorrah, it was being destroyed, and his wife turns into a pillar of salt. And then two daughters get him drunk and they get impregnated. Are we talking about that kind of faith? No, my point is God's grace and mercy working with him through all this time, that when he had, even in his failures, he had not given up. And then when God finally gave him that son, he says, I know God will raise him from the dead. My faith has grown so much in God, even after that miserable failure with Ishmael. Even all these things I've done wrong, I have not given up on God. And look, my faith has got to the point that God will raise him from the dead, even if I did sacrifice him. And he didn't, amen? See, that's the faith, type of faith God wants you and I to have, as we don't give up on him and don't give in. That even in your messes, you keep serving and following him. We have this thing that, like, Abraham was perfect. I mean, there's many more other stories we could talk about Abraham. But finally, it said he didn't give up. And finally, when God said, hey, do this, he said, I believe you. And we saw the works of it. We saw what God did. But we put these time constraints, like this happened over a 24-hour period. No, this faith working to perfection took 25 years. Many of you, like me, it's been 25 years of God perfecting and strengthening your faith, going through many failures, many bumps and bruises, and somehow God's still using us. Somehow God's still saying you are righteous. Somehow God's still giving joy and strength in my life, even as I look at the past. Amen? Even in looking at the past. See, we're no different than Abraham unless you give up. And that's why the enemy keeps hitting and striking at people saying, give up. Now, I'm not even talking about you losing your salvation. I'm talking about not maturing so God can show forth his favor and strength and peace and results in your life. Don't give up when you don't. I love to say, if you're doubting, doubt your doubt. And I'm preaching to myself today, by the way. Preach it, and I need it as much as anybody. Amen and amen. Don't give up. So when you don't give up on Christ being your righteousness, eventually it's going to show up on the outside. You may be like me, and it will take 20 years, or your fruit may, but your fruit is going to eventually be evident to others. Your fruit will be evident to others. And the one who justifies you, saints, aren't the people around you. It's Jesus himself. Amen? Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Just along the same line before we move on. Amen. Therefore, Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Then it says something, it's almost like an oxymoron. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to good and to do work. I mean, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. It's God within you, allowing him, trusting him, believing him, walking with him, that starts working itself out. In awe of his word, the fear and trembling, man, I hold his word in the most highest place in my life. How about you, saints? It's the only book that can change a life. It's a love letter to you and I. Oh, how he loves you and I. It's a love letter. In looking at it, it encourages us. It corrects us. Sometimes it gives us a little whipping, gets us in line. Right? Any parent that loves his kid will discipline them. Amen? Amen. So what was number one? Do you remember what number one was? Ignorance, okay. Number two, wrong doctrine. Things, what you believe, I said it over and over again, what you believe is going to determine the direction and what happens in your life. We've all learned that sometimes the hard way, haven't we? Acts 18, 24 through 26. This is an example. Now, a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was proficient in the scriptures. 25, this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was accurately speaking and teaching things about Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And 26, and he began speaking boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the way of God more accurately to him. So he just knew about John's baptism. He didn't know about the full gospel yet. And this wife-husband team took him aside and they said, hey, we hear what you're preaching, man. You got the goods, but you've got some things wrong. You don't have the complete picture. You're speaking about a repentance that you can't do in yourself. You're talking about a repentance that God gave the Jews, but let me show you more about the grace of God after what John had done and what Jesus has accomplished for you. Let me just say this, that a display of emotion doesn't always mean your faith is being built up. Meaning this, I could be very fervent, but is there any meat in it? You know, I was listening to a gentleman, and this is how it came to my mind. He was a very fervent preacher, and I still listen to him, and I listened to his message and got some meat out of it for my life. But the next time I listened to that same message, or it was a different place, but the same message, I had already gleaned from that, so it was just emotion. And then when it was done, I thought, well, I'm not, what's wrong here? I'm not getting the benefit in my spirit, man. I got all the emotion out of it, and it dawned on me, you heard that same message, you already gleaned that meat. You already chewed on that meat. That has already been applied to you, so it just became just an emotional thing. Now, other people hadn't heard it. They were gleaning from that, amen? They were taking from that. So emotional preaching with no meat will get you your emotions fired up, but it doesn't stoke the fire in your spirit. Saints, we got to make sure in this day and age that we're just not looking to get our emotions fired up. That's okay, but it's got to have the meat of the Word and God of it to feed your spirit, man. I love powerful preaching. I love that preaching. But if it's just a bunch of fluff and nothing in it with the Word of God and the power of God in it by the Scriptures, then all it does is it does something in my emotions, and the next day I'm just, it done nothing. Does that make sense? When you're part of hearing, don't allow your emotions to train you. Don't be led by your emotions. Amen? If you're like me, maybe raised and been a part of some Pentecostal, love Pentecostal, but we were kind of trained that your emotions could lead you. I'm learning now that the truth of the Word of God leads me. And if there's some powerful emotion in it, so be it. That's awesome. But I'm training my ear. I'm listening for what the truths, the nuggets of the Word of God in the message. I am not allowing my emotions to lead and guide me. Amen? That'll get you in trouble. That'll have you looking for revival after revival. You'll just chase these things, but all it's doing is doing something in your emotions, but it's not changing the inner man. So make sure what you're listening to is something that can change and grow from the inner man coming out in Jesus' name. Amen. So true being wrong doctrine. So Apollos went from somebody who's very fervent to preaching powerful truths that was affecting the church in all that area in what would be considered modern-day church. Number two is the wrong doctrine. Number three is persecution. Persecution. We're talking about things that would try to hammer away at our faith. We're talking about things we have to contend for the faith today. Amen? I know you're all contending to the faith, and I know I'm just preaching to the choir, but let me do it anyway. So Acts 13:49, another one. Our dear brother, Apostle Paul, Acts 13:49-51. And it says, and the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region, but the Jews incited the devout women and prominent and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of that region. Can you believe that? I mean, their powerful ministry is going on, and because of persecution, they drove them out of their region, but they shook off the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. They just kept going. They didn't allow what people said about them. They didn't allow the things that were coming against them. You can have things coming against us in society today. You have people saying, hey, that gospel message is not true. It's just hate speech. That's a lie, saint. It's the same lie that they, in the first church that Rome spread. And they persecute the church then, saying, you don't like mankind. Well, what were they preaching again back then? Man, there was so much. They were abusing and sexually abusing their slaves and so they, it was crazy what they were doing to people. The abuse of young children was insane. And as the church began to stand up against that, they began to be persecuted. When you stand up against what we see today, the things that are totally, that will destroy young people's lives, that'll destroy a generation if God and people don't stand up for the truth, it'll destroy this generation. And it'll be, and if the church says, well, we can't worry about that, we can't mention it from the pulpit, where are we going to mention it? Because they sure aren't mentioning it from the schools anymore. They're sure not mentioning it from other venues anymore. The church has to stand up in love and say something about these things. So the people are here will say, that are could be confused by what they're hearing, that the truth of the Word of God can set them straight, that He can bring you out of any struggle and line up with the Word of God and with the love of God to change your life. Amen. Amen and amen. He brushed off and said, man, that doesn't mean God's not with us. Understand, when things come against you, it's the enemy who's wanting to get you to quit. It's not God forsaking you. Just think if Paul had said, man, that was going so good, and they just threw us out on our heels. God, where were you? What happened? I thought I was called to be an apostle. And then I'm preaching with power, and signs and wonders are taking place, and they take me and they throw me out of my ear. He brushed off and said, if they don't want to hear the gospel, I'll find some place they do. Amen? If they don't want to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, I'll go on until I find somebody that does. So when people come against you, they don't want to hear that, saying, I will eventually find somebody that needs the saving grace and power of Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to allow persecution to come against me to shut my mouth and think, well, God, you must not be with me. That is the oldest lying ploy of the enemy. Don't allow a lying foe, the enemy, Satan, to deceive you that God has given up on you, or when you're in struggles that somehow He's not with you. Now brush it off and say, God, I'm looking to you. You are going to protect me. You're going to lead me. You're going to guide me. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm not going to go by what my emotions feel, but with why the Word of God, what the Word of God says, and I will put my trust in the promises of the Word of God, because they're yes and amen. Can I get an amen in the house? I got to know you here once in a while. Amen. Acts 22:22. And it's another example. They listened. He was speaking to a large group of people who were basically wanting to kill him. And before they threw him in prison, they allowed him to say something to this large crowd. And it says they listened to him up to this statement. And they raised their voices and said, away with such a man from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. And in some cases, saints, that's what we're starting to see now. We're starting to see that. That's what we're hearing. As things that if you stand up for truth and righteousness, it's God's love. It's God's love. But people, there's a generation, and there's some people now, they don't want to hear that. And so when you hear things that they shouldn't even be alive, don't let it surprise you. It's normal. It's not new. There's nothing, Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Let's not be surprised of what you and I are facing today. Amen? Number four, so number three was persecution. Number four is unwilling to be challenged or corrected. Uh-oh. Where are we going here? Right to the scripture. Timothy 4, verses 1 and 4. And we're here today. We're here today in many ways, saints. It says, this is Paul talking to Timothy. I solemnly exhort you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2. He's talking specifically in this case to Timothy, who was a pastor. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Wow. We have a lot of that going on right now, saints. I'm telling you. So myth means fiction, things that aren't true, tales. It's false prophets, and it's not just talking about people who want to live in a lascivious life. It's also about those who are saying, I don't want to hear about God's loving grace. I want to hear about the rules and the regulations. You look at things like Jehovah's Witnesses and Islam. There's a form of religion, but they love the rules and the regulations. Don't be like one of those in the house of God who loves to hear pounding of the law to try to straighten you out. It will not straighten you out. Romans 7 says that the revealing of the law strengthens sin in a person's life. So it's not just itching ears that somebody could live their own lifestyle any way they want. It's also for those that says, hey, I want to be beat up on. Give me that law. It will not change you because you cannot make your flesh serve God. Romans 6 says that we are dead to sin because of the grace of God. Learning to be dead to that through the power of God that already lives in you. What we need to hear today is know that not sin is okay, but it's only the grace of God that will change an individual. Amen? So itching ears is not just talking about those who want to live a terrible lifestyle. It's those that say, I want to live like a Pharisee. Itching ears. I want to form a religion, but deny the power thereof. Saints, let's not have a form of religion. Let's not form our lips saying, yeah, I love God, but know nothing about his love. Know nothing about the power that actually changes a life. Let's not be people that have itching ears. We're in a society today where people are saying, I want to hear whatever I want to hear. I don't even want to pursue the truth. I don't want anybody correcting me. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. And his job as a shepherd is not to browbeat everybody, but to present the Word of God and allow the Word of God to correct you. My question to you is, do you allow the Word of God to correct you? Or are you one that just argues that you're going to make what you believe, make the scriptures fit what you believe? Be somebody through the grace of God, for the anointing, the grace of God, to allow the scriptures to correct you and change your thinking. We all still need some change in the thinking, I guarantee you. But it does not happen if you're not willing to be corrected. It's like a child that's not willing to be corrected. They're in trouble. They're headed for a lifetime of trouble. Or a parent that refuses to correct a child, they're headed for a lifetime of trouble. We have to come to a point, even if you're an adult, to say, I'm going to allow myself to be corrected. I'm going to allow the Word of God. I may hear some things that challenge me that come from that pulpit, but go to the Word of God and say, Lord, is there something that needs to change in me? We need that heart today in the church, saints, like never before, to allow the Word of God to correct us. It says that rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. We can have rebellion in our life and not even realize it. Stiff-necked. Nobody's going to tell me anything. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I don't want to be that way. I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt and hat. It does not work. But thanks for his great love for me. There's a point where let me read it here. John, I'm going to skip the 2 Timothy and go to the Peter challenge to believers, 1 Peter 4, 1 through 5. This is a powerful set of scriptures that we're talking about. We're under Number four, people that are unwilling to be challenged or corrected. Peter said, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, it says, arm yourself also with the same purpose, because the one who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time, the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human lust, but for the will of God. Let me stop right there. Sometimes you just, what happens, and God's so patient, you just finally said, I've had enough. I've had enough of this behavior that it's bringing destruction in my life. Have you ever been there? I think we all have. Sometimes God's love for us, we just finally say, Uncle, Lord, I give it to you. You could be there here today saying, I've done enough to wreck my life. Maybe you can say, I've been here long enough where I've been rebellious, just doing things my way. But if you'll yield your life to Jesus Christ, if you'll give your life to Jesus Christ, if you'll ask him to wash your sins away by his blood, if you ask for the Holy Spirit to come in and say, Lord, I give you my life, I'm telling you, he will change your life. Sometimes you just got to say, I've had enough. If you're here today and you say, I've had enough, the answer is Jesus Christ, his Holy Spirit, in the scriptures. The scriptures change a life. This needs to be held in high honor. Oh, how he loves you and I. This word right here, I don't know, I don't understand it. Faith, I don't quite understand, saints, that I can, through the Holy Spirit, start reading this and it changes my marriage. That it changes, it breaks the power of addiction over my life, over a time frame when I don't give up. It just continues to grow and grow and grow in him. And then God starts doing things, and you wake up and say, man, that depression doesn't have a hold on me like it used to. We've got a generation that is controlled by depression. And the word of God and the power of God and the Holy Spirit will break that over any individual's lives. And I'm telling you, it hasn't happened because people say, now this is foolish. We'll spend hundreds, we'll spend thousands going to see people to take care of things like depression when it says that the word of God heals the brokenhearted. He sets the captive free. It's the gospel that America needs. Amen? And then it goes on, it says, so as to live the rest, it says, hey, you know, you've this thing that you've been doing, it's finally wearing on your flesh. It's finally destroying your life. It could even be destroying your health. And you finally say, I give up, Lord. I've had enough. Verse 2 says, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human lust, but for the will of God. For the time already passed is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of indecent behavior, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and wanton idolatries. That's pursuing money. It says, in all these things, they are surprised that you do not run with them in the same excesses of debauchery. And they slander you, but they will give an account to him who's ready to judge the living and the dead. You know, it's awesome that you and I, saints, when we stand before him, our only plea is the blood of Jesus. Because I can't be justified by my behavior. You can't. And my plea to other people is, hey, give your life to him. He loves you. He didn't prepare anybody for a godless eternity. That was prepared for the devil and his angels. He prepared heaven and what's going to be heaven for you and I. And it's received by faith. It's by putting your trust in him and saying, I don't want to live in my own rebellion. You ever met people who say, I don't care. I'm going to believe what I want to believe. That's pride. That's foolishness. Yield yourself and say, Lord, I've had enough. I give my life to you. I give my life to you. And give him a chance. He can mend anything. Anything that's broken. Anything that seems beyond the chance of repair. I am telling you, he still repairs the brokenhearted. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. I've got a few more points I think I'm going to pick up on the next week. I think that's enough information as the worship team comes. Saints, let me just tell you this. I hope it wasn't too heavy for you. Amen. Amen. The point is we're in a day and an age where we've got to contend for the faith. Do you believe in him? saint? Do you hold this word, my electronic Bible? Do you hold this in high honor? Man, that we'd be a church and say, man, this is where the power is. This is where the truth is. This is where the victory is. This is where I get corrected. This is where I change. And then when that, with that understanding in heart, the grace of God will just explode in your life. You know, as Jennifer was talking this morning, it was a thing, say, Uncle, I give up. I give up. I give my life to you. That's what causes that growth. And then sometimes we have areas in our life where we just hang on to. We hang on to unforgiveness. We hang on to resentment. Things in our lives, and it just stifles us. Stifles us. Yes, God still loves us. Yes, we're going to heaven, but it just stifles us. And then the Holy Spirit that wants to flow in and out, fresh water constantly, it gets murky, right? It gets where it's backed up, and then it gets scum on the top of it. And then the mosquitoes come and all those things in areas, right? Well, those can be areas in our lives that get that way. And you're saying, Lord, I'm not doing that anymore. Here's the thing. God, we're not waiting on God. He's waiting on us. See, he did everything already at the cross. When he said it's finished, man, he meant it. It's finished. He says, I invite you. All that are weary and heavy laden, come and find rest. Father, we thank you for rest this morning. Can you stand up with me, church? Do you love him this morning? I want to be very bold. If you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, I want to say you need to give him your life today. Amen. Or if you said, I haven't understood about his love and grace, and I need to say, Lord, I belong to you. Would you come up here? I want to pray with you. The others that will come up here and pray as well. I'd love to pray with you. And you know, sometimes too, you can be dealing with little things in your heart, and right, you don't need me. I'm not your advocate between the Father. Jesus is. Amen. You could just hear something I said, and even during this week, you just start saying, Lord, show me those areas. Lord, help me with. I'm already here. Show me those areas. Strengthen me in those areas. Those things that keep digging at me. Those things that keep picking at me. Or there are hooks in my flesh that keep drawing me away, Father God, from you and your love. Saying, Lord, I want to be done with those things. He already loves you. So that's not the thing. You can say, Lord, thank you. I want to give that up. I want to give that over to you. I'm done with that. Some of those things take time. Different things in my life I dealt with, I'd start thinking about it. And it was a year later, I said, okay, Lord, I'm ready. But you know what? Guess what? But it was true repentance. He was okay with that. He was preparing my heart and teaching me things so that when that happened, it was a done deal. It was not an act of my own strength and my own flesh to do it. It was something that was revealed in my heart. I said, I'm done with it. And it's done. God's time frame isn't 24 hours, man. It's over your whole life. Oh, how he loves you and I. As we lift our hands, say, Father, we just received from you. Thank you, Father God. I belong to you, Father God. My whole life belongs to you, Father. Lord, I belong to you. I am your child. And Father, every area of my life is open to you, Father God. I am contending for the faith today. Lord, I am contending for this faith. I will not allow myself to be fooled. I will not allow myself to be deceived. I will not allow myself to be hardened. I belong to you, every area of my life. And I'm telling you, Lord, Father God, we're thankful that you're going to do something mighty and powerful in those areas. And if you're struggling, just say, Lord, help me in these areas. Lord, I'm still angry at that person. Tell him about it and say, Lord, I'm still angry. I'm still troubled in this area. And say, Lord, help me in this area. He'll do it as well. Just give it to him. And so we thank you for that day. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Father God. I know, Lord, that seed has gone forth today. I know that your anointing has gone forth today. I know that your power has gone forth today to begin a healing process in people's hearts. For some, it's this, I'm done. God, you show me today I'm done. For others, it's saying, Lord, show me. And for others, saying, Lord, I can't do this without you. It's going to take time. Deep wounds in somebody's lives. Things that have happened to people. Man, it takes time. But just say, Lord, begin the healing process. Father, begin the healing process. I declare that right now over people's lives. The healing process to begin in Jesus' name. Father, that the healing balm of Gilead will begin to heal hearts. Thank you for softening today. I sense a God softening hearts. I said, I sense God softening hearts by his word. Thank you for that, God. I sense God growing. There's some growing coming in some areas. There's people that are saying, I dare to believe in that area that has been so wounded that I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you, Lord, and watch what you can do. You give it to him tomorrow morning. You give it to him the next day. You just say, Lord, bring me to healing and restoration in my life in those areas. And I'm telling you, when you don't give up or believe the lie of the enemy, victory, if it doesn't happen today, belongs to you. The victory through Jesus Christ belongs to you. Father, we declare it this morning. Maybe you need to declare that over your children. Maybe an area where you've just kind of forgot, you've just kind of given up. Lord, I declare that over my children. I declare that over my parents. I declare that over my nieces and nephews. I declare that over that person that hurt me terribly, that person that abused me, Father. Whatever the case is, I forgive them. And Lord, I ask that you'd help the process to begin in my life. A house of healing. I said a house of healing. A house of deliverance by the word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we declare healing in this house in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that there'll be many others in that boat. People right now that are hopelessly addicted, hopelessly, Father, lost, hopelessly abandoned because of abuse or whatever, that will find your grace and your love and be set free. We thank you. We declare it. We speak it. We're calling them from the east. We're calling them from the south, the north, the east, the west, the north, and the south. We call them forth, Father God. And we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, hallelujah.